11L149.
Live and international, the Midwood Files.
You're listening to
LF Midwood.
So it's another edition of the Midwood Files. You know, this was supposed to be a music show. You know, Wednesday was supposed to be all about the music, but I've been having issues. I sat down last week. I think was a train wreck. You know, and I always say that. You know what I'm doing here, right? I don't have to tell you. So last week was like another train wreck for me. And I tell you the truth, most shows feel like train wrecks when I waddle on out of here. I mean, I just in my head I'm playing it back and I'm like, oh God. And I usually do a playback during the week of the show, usually a couple of days later. And usually I'm pleasantly surprised, not always. Last week I was not, for sure. I just didn't feel, it felt really random. I just didn't like it at all. I mean, I liked the idea of playing music, but I just the execution on that particular show just was not very good. So I sat down earlier today, because I sure as hell wasn't going to do anything on the 4th except eat chili and drink beer. And I tried to work with some music. I tried to get something going, even some sort of Happy Birthday America, whatever theme. And I just, I couldn't do it. It just wasn't happening for me. For some reason, I don't think I can do what I used to do in the way that I used to do it. I think that there were several components involved with that. I think there was a lot of pre-production, a lot of taking the time of picking music and a lot of editing and a lot of working with the jingles and a lot of getting everything together and a lot of audio technical stuff to get it just right. And then there was having somebody else in the studio with me to kind of take that load a little bit so that I could play the music and then I could work off of her. And that's not the way the show is right now. And I don't know if I can get back to doing the music. You know, it's been suggested to me that possibly I look to do, like, you know, topic oriented again or theme oriented again. I don't know if I can do that. I don't really know. I'm not 100% sure. And I'm still convinced by far and large, and this is from feedback based upon a lot of people, including John, is most people are tuning in to hear my voice and what I have to say for whatever strange unknown reason. So that being the case, I don't think I'm going to get so emotionally caught up in the need to produce a music show. Who knows? Next week it may happen. Who knows? I don't know. But I am going to stick to Wednesday. I'm going to keep Wednesday alive, and I'm going to keep Saturday going. So there'll be two weekly shows, Wednesday and Saturday. They'll both be talk as of this point, and they'll both be video. So, which means that you can hear me live on lfmidwood.com or johnlightning.com. I believe the listen links are prominently posted on both John's site and my own. And then I believe you can head over to YouTube, and I think I'm live on YouTube on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and I believe I'm live on Periscope on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and I'm also archived on YouTube and Periscope on Wednesdays and Saturdays. What I may try and do is, you know what I'm doing, right? Okay. I may, I'm just not happy here. I may try and get that little extra bonus content up. Maybe on Periscope exclusively, just because I like the Periscope people, and kind of have Wednesday and Saturday, or I guess it would be Thursday and Sunday, depending upon how you look at it, but have the two regular shows at 90 minutes and then throw up something at a couple of few minutes a week as filler gap, so there's something every couple of days. You know, most of the people that I admire, and I've already mentioned prominently, Stefan Molyneux. I'm so proud of myself that I finally got that right. And watch, I don't. Watch, I've been doing it wrong the whole time, and I just feel like a total idiot, but that's all right. And David Seaman again, and even, you know, Baked Alaska, and just all those people. Lauren Southern, and just about anybody who's doing a podcast of any merit in the alt-right or light-right or whatever they want to refer to themselves as at this point in time. There's no music. They're not doing music. It's strictly talk. So, and I happen to think that that's my thing. That's, I'm a verbal person, as I've said very many times before. Some people have described me as oral. I don't know. But anyway, so that's basically the plan going forward. I think I'm just gonna try and stick to talk on Tuesdays. Who knows? Maybe, like, you know, special occasions, holidays. Who knows? I'm not really sure. I hate to do anything. I hate to, like, nail something down, because once I, like, nail it down, then it's like I'm going to turn around and not want to do it, or something's going to pop up. But I'm having a real hard time with the music. Let's just put it that way. I mean, I'm, like, legitimately, like, almost like panic attack, like, type stuff, where I'm saying to myself, wow, I got, like, a... Even the idea of doing something for 90 minutes, where even if I did 45 minutes worth of music or an hour's worth of music, and it's a half... How am I going to do it? I can't balance it. That's my thing. It's almost like... this is one of the biggest criticisms of quote-unquote cooks/chefs on a lot of these cooking shows, and I watch every cooking show in creation, is people don't know how to self-edit. You know, they don't know, it's like too much on the plate, or they just make too much, or they don't allot the time correctly, and it's all of that comes into play, you know? And I almost feel as if it's just some sort of evolutionary process at work here, and it's like, I know I can do that. I know I can work music, and I know I can do talk at the same time, kind of. And it's just almost like I've closed that door, and now it's like one door doesn't open to another, or no, one door doesn't... Something about doors closing and opening. I don't even remember how it goes. I'm tired. Doors don't close on me that well. Doors that I thought were closed, they're not closed. So we'll just leave it at that as far as that goes. I can't do it. I really, you know, I got too much... For a guy who doesn't do anything and doesn't have anything going on in his life, I got a lot of friggin' stress. So I'm still feeling weirded out. As far as the meds, to some degree or another, I don't know, something's not right. I can tell you that much. Something's definitely not right. So, and I'm definitely clear to lithium by now, so who knows what's going on. I got an appointment coming up pretty soon. I'll get all that. Let them look under the hood and see what the story has changed a little. Because I need some help. Lord knows I need some help. So yesterday was the 4th of July. And I don't know whether most people are aware of this. I think I talked about this 12 years ago. I was tempted just to, I couldn't find it, otherwise I would have done it. It was BCQ ID'd. I did it on BCQ, so it was a lot of BCQ jingles, so I don't know how that would have worked. But I did a show. I did like a 4th of July show that up into the modern era, meaning like, you know, not that long ago, it was probably some of the best work that I'd ever done, if not the best work that I'd ever done. And it was while Gina and I were in Texas. And, I talked about Rhode Island, and I talked about my family, and I'm not going to get all... I'm not interested in going to that level with my family. And, you know, again, I'm done. I'm finished. Done. So, but I can't talk about Rhode Island. And my family is from Bristol, Rhode Island. And Bristol, Rhode Island has the longest continuous 4th of July parade in the country. It's like a really big deal, particularly in Bristol, of course, but, you know, the rest of Rhode Island too. It's a really, really, really big deal. It makes them think they're like, you know, Barrington and Newport for like a couple few weeks. Woo! But no, I mean, it's big. You know, there's patriotism here, but they're liberals. They're more, you know, vast majority of, and it's like a special kind of liberalism. It's not even like, you know, it's like if Massachusetts and New York had a baby and then put that baby in a blender, it would kind of be like, it would be like Rhode Island. It would be somewhere. So I always get kind of whacked out around 4th of July because I get the patriotism sense of it. I really honestly do. But when I looked at the twisted vision of it, you know, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then that gets amplified by living in the heart of darkness. I think that's what I'm going to refer to this as now. The heart of darkness. Yeah. The new arrivals were blowing up shit all night last night. It was crazy. And my cat's finally calmed down. The other one don't care. Cornelia, she don't care. She's like, yeah, whatever. But the other guy, he gets upset. You know, just very high strung. So, kind of like me, I guess, to a certain degree. I don't know if I'm high strung. I don't know if I'm high strung. I'm just intense. I'm just really, really, really intense. You know, and that's never gone away, unfortunately. Yeah, well, you know what? I've had that conversation with people recently, and it's like, it would be nice if I could just kind of dial it down a little bit. I'm getting old. You know, the parts are all getting kind of... Just dial it down a little bit. So, but I use it. You know, I gotta be honest. And I was also having this conversation with someone. I've decided I'm not going to mention anybody's name ever again. I'm just going to say people. I've talked to people. It's the best thing to do. One guy was real upset that I wasn't going to be doing music. I'll just leave it at that. But and I'm going to have to negotiate with him going forward, which is actually pretty funny. We'll figure something out. But I was talking to someone about, like, again, just as far as being able to use an aspect of my mania from my chemical imbalance from the bipolar and getting this done. And I think that that's a I think it's a major factor. I think it's one of the things that has given me the quote unquote, and this is other people's descriptor and not mine, that it has enabled me to share this gift. I think that might be the best way to describe it. So it is something that can be channeled. It's not something that I would want to kind of mute into the ground and not have anymore at all. It is something that I would like to have a better handle on, obviously. So would the people who care about me. They would like to have a better handle on it as well. But it's not something that I would want to turn off entirely in its part. This is about energy. This is about, I don't like people. I don't like to listen to people or watch people that, for that matter. I guess there's this whole video element now. Without them having some sort of energy, some sort of something that I wouldn't call it a vibe. I don't use the word vibes, you know. It's like I was reading something on Twitter. I always like little poems on Twitter you see all the time. And somebody said something about dope. Like a dope mind, dope. I never got that. I was never into that, like, slang street stuff, really. I just never, even when I was, like, a kid, running around the streets, I guess would be the best, how else you would describe it, right? I was just never into that. It's like, you know what, I knew, this is the deal. I was always aware of the fact that I was not black. I don't think you can say that for, like, every white teenager. I don't think so. But for me, I was pretty much aware of that fact. I was like, hey, wait, you know, there's not, no. My people came here on a boat, but they didn't come over on that boat. Nope, definitely not. So not that there's anything wrong with that, mind you, but I'm just, you know, saying. So I just, and the Ubonics things really, really bugs me. And just the whole ghetto thing. I find it somewhat amusing, but in a condescending sort of way. I don't feel part of it. I don't feel, you know. Doesn't make me happy. I don't self-identify as such. I never self-identified as such. You know, it's like Eminem and whatnot. I never got that. Although, ironically enough, when I first arrived in the federal correctional facility that I was in the longest, the Latinos called me Slim Shady because it was a big. That was, I guess, on the radio at the time. I don't know. I was like 6'3", like $1.50. $1.60. I don't know. Anyway, I got Eminem. But I guess all white guys look alike. And you know what? I would like to point out, I know the finger's in frame, that races, when they look at other races, generally they aren't able to distinguish various features. I'll say that again a little bit slower because I don't even think that played well in my head. What I just said was that for instance, white people think black people look alike, and black people think white people look alike. Asian people think that Spanish people look alike, and Spanish people look that Asian people look alike. Did I leave anybody out? I hope I didn't leave anybody out. If I did, please email me, lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com, lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com. We're accepting complaints, as always. If I haven't offended you, please go to the back of the line. I guarantee you it'll happen before the show's over. I'm better doing my time. But yeah, no, this is proven. The races are unable to distinguish various features amongst other races. I still don't know if I'm making sense, but I think I explained it better the second time. Yeah, this is one of those over-explaining things again. I do that a lot. I over-explain things a lot. The only thing worse than over-explaining things is over-explaining things in chat. This is true. 100% true. But the birthday just passed, and we got 240, so I never get it right. 241, 242, somewhere in there. I couldn't do the math. And normally on 4th of July night, I like to watch something patriotic. Remember the old days when Channel 7 used to show the Alamo with John Wayne? You know, the old one? They did that for like years and years and years when I was a kid. And they apparently don't do that anymore. They should put the Billy Bob one on. I don't mind Billy Bob. He's kind of like, what's his face? Woody Harrelson, who's just so strange. He's just coming up on both sides. You know, he's shedding hair on both the left and the right. So, yeah, I like Harrelson. I still do. And I like Billy Bob. I know he was kind of weird. He still is, probably. I don't know. He kind of was cool all the way along. And he's like my third favorite Texan. I never count Gina. It's just safer that way. First one's Howard Hughes. Yeah. And I forget who my second one is. Oh, yeah, Tommy Lee Jones. Got a good one, right? That's a good one. You're going to have a couple of Texans on your list. And then Billy Bob. I believe Billy Bob is from Texas. Other than that high strangeness with what's her name? Can't think of her name. The overrated actress who won for Girl Interrupted. When Winona Ryder should have won an Oscar by now. I just want to say that. I'm not going to get into any in-depth about that or nothing. But she should have won an Oscar by now, I think. So, and I'm up on the Oscars, man. Let me tell you something. I got this thing about the Oscars. My mother went into false labor on the night of the Oscars in 70. So I'm kind of like always kind of connected to that to some degree or another. But then like the other side of that is that when they gave Liz Taylor the sympathy Oscar, you know, for what was it for? I forget what movie it was. I don't even remember what movie it was. Couldn't have been Butterfield because that was too early. I don't think it was Cleopatra. It was one of those crappy ones. Whatever one. She didn't deserve it that year. They gave it to her, you know. Even what's his name, you know, the dude who won the Joker there. I mean, you could arguably say Heath Ledger. You could arguably say, oh, they gave it to him because he died. But that was a pretty good performance as the Joker there, not for nothing. I mean, I didn't think Nicholson could be surpassed on that, but he did. And I want to end the acting thing because it's just so superfluous in general. But here's the thing about Jack Nicholson. He's not an actor. He's a persona. He's the same guy in every role. Every single role. It's Jack Nicholson. He doesn't know how to act. He knows how to be Jack Nicholson. So that's fine. I mean, he's really good at it. He really is. But he's not. You know, he's just not an actor. So, and he's a Laker fan. What else is there to say, right? So, back to the 4th of July. I don't know. I thought I would feel a lot better, or at least somewhat better, after the first 4th of July without the Obama administration in the White House. And I don't. I mean, I feel good about 45's administration. I keep saying that. It's 45. 45. Antifa. I didn't even do it in context. There was no context to it. Now he's just doing it randomly. That's not good. That's not good. Seriously. Smack the puppy, somebody. Christ sakes. But anyway. I thought I would feel better, and I don't. And I think it has more to do with just, believe it or not, I'm not enjoying the level of derisiveness that exists. I'm almost not as enjoying it as much as I wasn't enjoying it for the previous 8 years. I don't believe it's being created by the administration. I guess that's the difference. I think, or at least the vast majority of it is being created by the left at this point in time, I guess the radicalized left. I think all left is now radicalized, or mostly radicalized, as a result of their reaction to 45 not being their president. I remember saying that a couple few times about Barry. So I guess it goes both ways. But I wasn't running around in the streets and breaking windows and committing all sorts of violence, hitting police horses with a bike lock. No, a professor got hit with a bike lock. I think a police horse got stabbed by one of these Antifa morons. I don't know. Did anything happen yesterday? Sometimes I just zone out, which is maybe it's going to be good that I'm doing two 90-minute shows a week. That's the plan, boys and girls. That's the plan. Maybe it's good because it won't give me enough downtime to like get into my own head and just fall down the rabbit hole. I guess that's what you would describe it as. I just want to go to Twitter. And it's, you know what the damn thing is? I'm sitting there and I have Twitter. I mean, really have a lot of information flowing with Twitter, you know? Two or three different sources. I'm working like two or three different tablets at the same time, or two tablets and a laptop. Because I'm just too tired to sit prone at my desk. I can't. That takes too much effort. So I just kind of lie there, man. I got the twin and I got the 10-inch tablet. I'm going, and it's like I'm screening stuff really fast, and I post a lot. Apparently, when I really, you know, when I'm into it, I'm retweeting. That would be the best term. I'm retweeting a lot, and I just get into this funky kind of groove, and it's just like, all like, I just zone out. There's really no other way of putting it. I literally just zone out, and then hours go by, and it's like, whoa, you know, what's going on? So it's kind of that sort of thing. It's like, oh, is it dinner or anything? Where'd the time go? Plus, I got like appointments all the time, so I don't know what's going on with my. I don't feel bad, per se. I feel out of sorts. That would really be the best way to put it. I think I was making reference to it last week, or I should say Saturday, when I was talking about how I just can't get things quite right. It's just fidgety little stuff. It's just not. Everything's off by like just a little, and it's not. No. Yeah, it's kind of like that. And I don't know what it's related to. I'm not 100% sure what it's related to. Could be the drugs. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I don't feel bad. I don't feel excessively manic or excessively depressed or excessive. I don't feel excessively anything, quite frankly. Although I did feel very, very, I had a fair amount of anxiety about the idea of getting that music together for a show. And I mean, that I already admitted to, but I mean, other than that, Maybe it's everything in general. You know, maybe it's the government thing and just, you know, just, I think, what, 45's in Poland. He's on his way to Poland, which is crazy. Hey, check this out, right? As far as I know, this is, like, actually my joke. I actually invented this joke. It's my joke. I created it. Okay, here we go. How do you know you have a real Polish ham? They put a key on the inside in case you break the one on the outside. That's brilliant. Don't you think that's brilliant? Seriously, that's brilliant. That might be my legacy to humanity right there. Yeah. No one will know it, of course, right? Because now it's just going to go out there. I put that out there, and it's going to, oh, chroma key, kind of weird. Ooh, look at that. Kind of strange. Hope the lighting's better in here. I had my producer work on that. That's what I'm going to refer to her now. My producer. I had my producer work on that. So it looks better over here. And I don't have mic stand in the frame, which makes me feel better about myself. Makes me feel better about myself. Shiny metal silver thing that long, you know, kind of makes me feel a little shrivelly. Not good. So he's in Poland, or I believe he's shortly going to be arriving in Poland. I don't know where else he's going. North Korea's got the ICBM going. Great. Wonderful. Speaking of 45, something's going to have to happen with that. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Done. There's, I don't, international community, I think China gets on board or they don't get on board. I think they're going to look really stupid if they don't. They're going to look powerless if they don't. So they're better off actually trying to intervene in some way and trying to do something. So it looks like they are the big, strong nation that they want everybody to believe they are, which technically they are. But, I mean, I'm just talking about their how they self-identify. I'm starting to like that term a little bit. It's like I self-identify as a sloth. Right. Actually, sloth is my favorite of the seven deadly sins. Sloth. Yeah, it is. Avarice is pretty cool. I think avarice is in there too, I think, right? Yeah, I think avarice is in there too. Did you know they're not in the Bible? No. No. I think they were written by one of the saints later on, or some sort of add-on. Kind of like that whole rapture thing. Oh, don't even get me going. I would like to talk about that sometime. The whole rapture thing, because I find that somewhat interesting in how it kind of evolved, and that's obviously more of an evangelical invention than anything else. Although there is an apocalypse mentioned in John. Everybody loves John. John's a nutball. That's why everybody loves John. It's true. But I totally forgot where I was. Yeah, see, that might be the drugs. That might be the chemical imbalance rearing its ugly head. You know, I listen back, and like I said, there are moments like this where I'm like in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I'm screaming in my head. It's like, oh, this is going so horrible, you know? It's like, oh my God. And then it turns out it's really not that bad, because I can backpedal, and I'm like relatively amusing, and I don't freak out that much. I just, you know, really try not to freak out. So I used to be bad at that when I was a kid. Oh my God, yeah. I didn't really come into my own when I was a teenager. I would say like middle teenager, I really kind of, you know, I mean, I knew I had it, but wasn't able to put it together in any sort of usable fashion. So I feel kind of nostalgic in general. It's in that sad attempt to get music together. And I actually didn't do too bad of a job as far as individual components, but getting it to work into some sort of cohesive manner wound up being the key. But I wound up coming across on YouTube a lot of those people of my age, and obviously a little bit older, will remember Schoolhouse Rock, you know, on Saturday mornings in between cereal commercials and cartoons. There would be the little educational things. And No More Kings was always one of my favorite, with the pilgrims coming over on the little boat. More Kings. So I had that. And I had Fireworks, which was kind of obvious for the fourth. And I didn't do the preamble. Oh, I did do the preamble. Yeah. The preamble one as well, too. They were very well done. I don't know if they still... Those probably might be around. You could probably get them on video, I would think. Like, actually buy them on video rather than get them from someplace like YouTube, where the quality is... Mess. I think I might have an audio box set ripped from CD from a couple of few moons ago, as they say. That's probably on a hard drive somewhere. So obviously the stuff has been remarketed. There's a market for it. I mean, just from the nostalgia thing. And I really consider those things to be. I know there was one on the solar system, which was pretty cool, and math. And remember, I'm a bill. I'm just a bill. And I'm sitting here in Capitol Hill, you know what I mean? That stuff was great. You know, I feel like, do they even do Saturday morning cartoons? I don't even know what they, I'm not even sure how that works. I think I was on in a conversation with somebody about this not that long ago. I don't know who it was. I really honestly don't. Do they have cartoons for kids on Saturdays? You know, me, I was big on the, you know, Scooby-Doo. It got a little screwy with Scrappy-Doo. I didn't like the fact that Scrappy Doo talked like normally, you know, not like that Scooby Doo dog thing. Scrappy Doo actually talked, you know. It wasn't even Scooby's cousin, Scooby Dum, was it? I think it was. The fact that I remember that is somewhat scary. He was gray too, with the little hat, with the little hillbilly hat, if I recall correctly. My cat's acting weird. My other cat's acting weird. Be good. Kick your ass out of here. But Scrappy Doo kind of blew the whole thing for me. It just got kind of weird, you know, from that point on. It was like almost, in some ways, it was the beginning and the end of my childhood, I guess. Sad as that may be. And then I think in the movie, in the, what was it, the first Scooby-Doo movie or the second one that they did the live, quote-unquote, live-action one? I like saying quote-unquote. It's like quote-unquote, quote-unquote. Wouldn't it be quote-quote? Maybe, no, I guess it's quote the thing and then unquote, because you're no longer quoting the thing in the middle when you've gone past it. I guess that's the best way to chalk that up, right? But, yeah, they had him talking in the end. And in the end, they didn't have him in the whole movie. And then they had him, he was like the bad guy in the end when they ripped the mask off and such, you know, like the monster or whatever the story may be. And it was just not, I didn't dig it at all. I didn't appreciate it. I did not appreciate it. But, yeah, I was a big Scooby-Doo guy. And I know there's a lot of the animated stuff they've continued with that, you know, like in short movies and stuff, or like even regular movies direct to video. I don't even know who owns that. I know it's obviously Hanna-Barbera. I don't even know who owns Hanna-Barbera now. If I had to guess, I'd say Disney. Disney pretty much owns everything. So, but that was big with me. And then the Abbott Costello on Sunday mornings. There was guaranteed an Abbott Costello movie on. What the hell else did I watch on Saturday? That's a great question. I was certainly up before my father, for sure. Eating cereal, for sure. Something with sugar in it, for sure. You know? And hanging out with one of my cats. And watching the 19-inch Zenith television. Yeah, mostly on, like I said, I think I talked about it on Avenue X. But I don't know what kids, I don't know what the story is these days. I don't, with so much stuff on home video and with cable and I guess Cartoon Network and things of that nature, I don't know if the networks feel compelled to provide children's programming or what qualifies as children's programming on weekend mornings. I remember even the early on Sunday morning, you know, Davy and Goliath, the claymation thingy there, that was awesomely biblical, I think, you know, and its moral tones, which and at the time that really didn't mean a whole lot to me, but looking back in retrospect, yeah, I mean that was certainly of intrinsic value, without a doubt. Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Even stuff like I remember I got the link to HR Puffin stuff, to the theme on my desktop for like ever, because I've been was meaning to use that for something for a show and I never got around to it. I think the last legit music show I did was like that new wave, post new wave show that I did right before going live with the video, before I was prompted into making that career move. So yeah, that was the last one, and that's got to be like 2 months ago, maybe even more than that, maybe closer to 3 months ago, could be closer to, I'm not even sure, lose track of time. But so that HR Puffin stuff has been sitting there, because that was pretty cool. That was a, you know, I just watched the opening to that recently again, because it was the video and obviously the theme. That was some scary stuff, man. I was scared. I was frightened again. I don't know. I think that's a little bit before my time, in the sense of that's probably like early 70s. So by the time I got around to seeing that, like 5 years later or so, 5-6 years later or so, it was definitely in syndication. It obviously wasn't first run. And the Banana Splits, they were pretty cool, obviously. But Puffin stuff was a little like, what's up with that, you know? No, I don't know about that, you know? And it wasn't just The Witch, although that was pretty scary stuff, too. But just in general, the whole vibe of that thing was really demented. Kind of like probably my favorite cartoon of all time would have to be Rocky and Bullwinkle. And this would be like the stuff that before Disney owned it. This is actually an interesting story. I used to hang out with Randy Steele a lot. Up in the when Randy Steele lived in Flushing, and I mean like a lot. Like I said, I think I've lived many times before. I practically lived on Randy's couch there, sucking down Pepsis and smoking weed. And Randy had a Laserdisc player, and Randy was one of the first people I knew who had a Laserdisc player, which is why I had to get a Laserdisc player. And I also, of course, had to buy the 27-inch Sony Trinitron to go with it, which was, considering I had a job, was, you know, doable, but I had to scrape the budget to get it done. But I did. But Randy was buying this from like JR like a long time, like on a semi-regular basis. And it was like a fair amount of animated stuff that came through there. And I believe that they started to put the Rocky and Bullwinkle stuff out on Laserdisc. And at the time, I believe the company that was marketing the Rocky and Bullwinkle stuff. Now, this had to be just so I set a time frame here. This had to be like late 80s. Yeah, definitely late 80s. Bonavista, I believe, was the name of the company. Now, what wound up happening sometime in that same time period is Bonavista wound up being acquired by Disney. Well, there you go again, right? And that's why I said what I said earlier, which is really coincidental, because it didn't have anything to do with this story until I decided to tell this story. It's really interesting. I guess it's just how stream of consciousness works. But the gist of this is that Bonavista was still the name of the company. They held the rights to Rocky and Bullwinkle, and Disney owned Bonavista. So you see how that worked, right? So there was a couple episodes on a disc. They would do it in like volume form. They wouldn't do it by season, which is, I guess, you get more money that way if you really stop and think about it. Plus, I think there was some sort of capacity on the size of the discs themselves, but I don't remember what it was. And I know you could go double-sided, and I know there were kind of different speeds to a certain degree. So I used to love pulling. You pulled one of those discs out. Is that this was like a 12-inch? Looked like a 12-inch CD. It was shiny as fuck. You know, people were like. It was just so cool. It was really a cool thing to be able to do, especially if they were stolen. It was like, rah! So, anyway. So we started watching this one particular volume that that Randy had purchased, and we're watching it, and we're like, okay. And at the same time, I forget what the channel is, but there was a TV channel out of Connecticut. Was it 47? No, it couldn't have been 47, because 47 was Super Kaku. Like the Spanish station, whatever qualified as the Spanish station there in New York. I forget which. It was one of the UHF stations out of Connecticut. Randy had a roof on the antenna or an antenna on the roof there that was directional, and it could be pointed towards Connecticut. And that's where this station came from, was a regular TV antenna. So get pretty decent signal from Connecticut. As a matter of fact, sometimes it would be good, and then an airplane would go by, and the signal would drop, and the airplane would pass, and it would get better. Because it apparently that house was like somewhere within a JFK flight pattern. And when I say JFK, I mean, okay, the cat's actually getting destructive now. Just in case anybody's wondering. So yeah, it would dip in and out. It was really strange. But on this particular station out of Connecticut, they showed Rocky and Bullwinkle episodes. And they happened to show one of the episodes that was actually on this Laserdisc, right? Now, the thing of this station showing us that Rocky and Bullwinkle is they got it under syndication like a long-ass time ago, and they just kept renewing it. So it was like the original syndication package. It wasn't edited in any way, shape, or form. While as the disc was new, you know, the version on the disc was brand spanking new. And my cat's actually going to break something. Corny, come here. No, she's just totally, she's gone wilding. There's no way to fix this. Hang on, I'm going to get rid of my cat. Yeah, I need you to pick up on that sooner. All right, looks like I need a new producer. I don't even know where I'd place an ad for that. I really don't. All right, cat problem solved. You know, the talent, and I use that term loosely, the talent in real broadcast environments, they don't have to worry about this stuff. It's taken care of. It's done. It's finished. It's over. There's green rooms. There's fruit platters. You know, me, what do I get? Actually, where's my... I need a drink. Switched over to Crystal Light, Peach Icy. Aspartame. I'm better off drinking one right now. I still got a funny taste in my mouth. I don't know what it is. I really don't. But I'm setting up my Brita and I'm going to do that, and stuff still tastes a little funny, and I got to figure out what it is. It's not dental. I know that much. I had my quads cleaned recently. I'm in good shape. So anyway, we had this comparative going back to Randy Steele and the Rocky and Bullwinkle thing, which again is my favorite animated show of all time. We had an A-B comparison to be able to make between what the original package was before it was owned, or more accurately, the original episode before it was owned by Disney, and the post-Disney episode on the Laserdisc. And you know how they do they would always do a little preview of the upcoming episode, because the whole thing was like episodic in the sense of the continuing story thereof. Again, I'm not going to over-explain this. I know you thought I was. I'm not going to. on this one particular episode, on the Bona Vista, meaning on the modern day, or what was modern at that time, Laserdisc Disney owned, the preview of the next episode was called "Let's Drink to the Ruby." That's it. On the pre-purchased Disney syndicated one that was distributed many, 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 many years before in a syndicated package, the name of the episode, the upcoming episode, was "Let's Drink to the Ruby" or "Stoned Again." So, and like, so you understand what they edited out that "Stoned Again" part, and that was in like 89, maybe 90. So I can imagine what they've done to those things, to the ones that are up on Hulu or Hulu, whatever it is. So, I mean, it's fun stuff to watch, without a doubt. You'd probably find maybe the older unedited stuff on YouTube or elsewhere on the internet if you actually went looking for it and looked hard. Because it's kind of like the Star Wars movies. You can't find the original Star Wars movies, the unreduxed ones that he did in Lucas redid in the 90s. I saw all three of those in the theaters at the Ziegfeld in Manhattan, which was like the last great movie theater in Manhattan as far as a single. If I have to tell you about the Ziegfeld, I don't even know what that is. I guess there are people not from New York who don't know. Big ass movie theater. They were one of the last theaters to show stuff in 70 millimeter. I saw, I think the last thing I saw in 70 millimeter as opposed to 35. And again, that's all about frame rate and, you know, and size. And, would be Born on the 4th of July, which I was still in the Stone at the time, meaning Oliver Stone. Oh, God. Apparently, see how it all flows? Apparently, I think it's Showtime or somebody else has got some sort of something going on with some Putin interviews. And you know, I'm a Putin convert. I think the interviews are conducted by Oliver Stone. So I'm not 100%. You see that little cringe that like that, because he's just such a gaping asshole. I mean, he's oh my God. He should, you know, it's not even like I would tell him to move to Russia, because I don't think that would be an upgrade to Russia. You know, I think he should go back into the way, way back machine while we're talking about Rocky and Bullwinkle and go back to Soviet Russia. He should go back to like Stalin era. He should go back to like World War II Russia. You know, when the Soviets were running Soviet Money Council, yeah, hair's gone. Well, didn't get to take a vote on that. Nope, I snuck that in while the Money Council was not in session. Detail. I waited for them to go to the bathroom, and I pulled a Barry on them. I started making appointments while they were in the can. That's awesome. But yeah, I think I still would be interested in seeing it, and he might even, Stone might even appeal to them. I'd like to see like the interaction between him and Putin, because Putin might be anything that feeds Russia's, you know, history and ego, even that dark period, you know, between the czars and the wall coming down. Yeah, you know what I mean, right? And some people would argue that the czar's years were pretty dark to earth. Some people would argue that, like my Ukrainian ancestors. Oh, I'm not Ukrainian. I'm Russian. I'm sorry. I forgot. Yeah. Anyway. They would. I'd like to see the interaction. It would be comical in the sense of I'm sure he would grow frustrated with him, or annoyed. Annoyed would be the word. I don't think Putin gets frustrated. He's too cool to get frustrated. But he gets annoyed, you know. But I think Stone would also be feeding the ego a bit. So it would kind of be this. Yeah, he'd probably get farther along and do better than Megyn Kelly did. That would be my guess. I wish I could remember the specific names of it, but I know it was a Showtime thing, because I think Stone also did the Untold History of the United States or something or another, which was commie propaganda bullshit. That was like a 10-episode thing. I think he wrote the book or did the series, and then he wrote the book, or I don't know what the story was. I watched like a couple of them, and I got sick to my stomach. And this is like years ago. This is like 3-4 years ago, so this isn't even like recent. So it just goes to show, you know, my trip from where I was to where I am now, it's, you know, it took a long time. But even before I was, for lack of a better word, radicalized as I am now. You know, I think radicalized, and now I think just strictly left, you know, by the way. I don't think of the right in that sense whatsoever at all. But I guess saying that you'd like to see 75% of your party dragged out into the street and shot in the head, I guess that's pretty radicalized, right? So it pretty much says what you think of the other side as well, so But yeah, I'll try and make some sort of mental note. Yeah, okay. about the... I'm going to try and hit a jingle. I might be only a little bit off. I don't know. I kind of made a promise that I'd hit jingles more because I don't think he likes it when I don't. Let's see. Can I do this?
You're listening to the Midwood Files with L.F. Midwood.
11LRNI Super Radio.
All right. I have no idea what my love song is. Should have looked at that. I got nothing is normalized. I didn't normalize that. I should have normalized that. I got my mic working. That's another thing that I really like about just doing a talk show is just being able to basically sit in here, you know, walk in here and sit down and go. I mean, there were times where I was so ill beforehand in the last couple of months, 6 weeks, that I wouldn't have been able to, if I had to actually get a show together in the sense of, you know, produce a program, produce content for a program and get it all edited and get it all set to go. And I wouldn't have been able to do it. I mean, I literally would not have been able to do it. There was some close calls there where I wasn't even sure I was even going to make it through the show. I was that physically ill. I find myself doing, you know, better now. And I still get a little tired, though. So I don't know what that's about. But, about going back to the Stone thing, I'll find out what the name of that thing is. I know it was a couple of, I think the Stone tapes or something, the Putin tapes. I think the Putin tapes sounds familiar. I got an internet right here in front of me. I actually have 4 internet devices, 4 internet enabled devices. I'm not doing it though. No, I'll get up and toss the cat out of the room and go off frame for that. But I won't, you know, I won't lean in and check the Stone thing. I don't know. You know, you got to have your priorities. You know, I draw the line. Line's been drawn, for sure. So, anyway, I do want to check that out, Oliver Stone notwithstanding. And I don't know if he's done anything recent. I just, you know what, here's what I can't figure out. I cannot, for the life of me, figure out how Oliver Stone and James Woods managed to have anything to say to each other, let alone worked in so many movies together, you know? Because I don't know whether you notice or not, but if you're a fan of Family Guy, you may be aware of this. James Woods is a native of Rhode Island. He's from Rhode Island. So I actually saw him once. I did not meet him. I did not go up and walk up to him and say hello, although in retrospect, maybe I should have, not knowing his political affiliations at the time. I did not find out until I got onto to Twitter on a regular basis that he was very much to the right, which is really, 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 really cool, actually. And he's very prolific in his tweets. You know, very well thought out, extremely economy of motion, and extremely effective. That's the way to put it. I would almost guess that he has somebody else work and you're writing him for him, but I don't want to insult him and think that. I mean, he really is. They're brilliant. I mean, in their 140 character way, they're absolutely 100% brilliant. He's dealt some serious damage within a couple of sentences, which is amazing. But we're in an optical place, so where I got these glasses, as a matter of fact. We're getting my eyes done and taken care of, and he was in there with someone, and he was talking to the next optometrist over, so he was like literally like 6-7 feet from me, maybe a little bit more, maybe 10 feet, and some other woman was in there, and she's like, you know, oh, I hate to bother you, but she did, of course, oh, you know, favorite movie, Any Given Sunday, blah, 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 and it's like, I'm sitting there, and it's like, you know what, if I could pick a friggin' Jane, and I kind of like nodded. I would call it a nod, and it was like an eye contact recognition thing, but I did not bother the man. It didn't seem right to me in any sense at all. I'm from New York. We don't even bother people in New York. You know, when we see a celebrity going down the street, yeah, whatever. You know, you just don't bother people. But I kind of almost wish I had, but considering this woman already had, I would have had like 2 questions. The first question, and one would have been a statement. The question was, What's the deal with Oliver Stone? I mean, you know, how is it that you managed to work with Oliver Stone on a, you know, you've done so many great things over the years, and I'll use that term great, depending upon your viewpoint, obviously. How's that work? I mean, is he really that big of an asshole? I guess would be the term, and you know, he'd probably be polite and say no or whatever the story may be. So, and then I'd have to mention what my favorite thing that he ever did was, and it would definitely not be Any Given Sunday. I'm not a football fan. I can watch football, and I threaten to get the football pass every year just so I can watch the Jets and the Giants, but I don't really care that much. It's just not my thing. Hoops is a whole other different story, But not football. It just doesn't. It's not. And I don't do baseball. I just do basketball, and that's all I do. And I try to do it as well as I can, which is really hard to follow that little ball these days because I'm like, you know, it's not so good. No. Nah, I get dizzy. I have to stop. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good. But anyway, the second thing would have been I would have said to him, you know, or I would have made a statement as to my favorite piece that he's ever done, favorite work. And the dude's done so much stuff. I mean, so much stuff. A lot of it with Stone, of course. When I was a liberal, probably my favorite thing that he had ever done might have been Salvador, which was like real early, which was Stone and real early. Now that I'm no longer a communist, for lack of a better term, sinuses, I actually chortled. I wonder, you know, I think there should be some sort of audio encyclopedia of various noises so that you can identify them and know exactly what you did. Like, was that a chortle or a snortle? It was a little bit more nose, so I think it might have been snortle. Not sure. But anyway, my favorite thing that he'd done post-liberalism on my part would have been when he played Roy Cohen on HBO. I thought that was, you know, who was counsel to McCarthy and partnered with Bobby Kennedy at one point in time as counsel for McCarthy. People forget that. They do. They forget that. I find Roy Cohen to be an amazingly fascinating individual, but I like Liddy. And I like Roger Stone, so what's that tell you? No, I love Liddy, and I love Roger Stone, so what's that tell you? I mean, that should put it when you think about it. Yeah, I'm a little warped. But I think he did a tremendous job in that. And I would be wondering what like some of his personal feelings are on some of the stuff that he's done, because I'm not an actor. This is not acting. What I do is not acting. I wish, you know what? If I were a better actor, my life would be way different now. Way different. It's not. I'm just not that person. As someone likes to point out to me, I'm not a good liar. So that being the case, I don't know how to be anybody but me, you know, which is not acting, the exact opposite of acting, I think. But actors, I have to assume it's a different thing, where like, do you get more up for something when it's something that you like, in the sense of, you know, you admire the person and you can really get into the person and you really, or is it more of I find this person totally abhorrent, but yet abhorrent, like abhorrent. Anyway, I didn't graduate high school. You get my point. It comes down to which one is better for the actor, and you know, in the artistic sense, is it better to be able to identify, or is it better to not be able to identify, or not identify and have it literally be acting, where now you're literally acting to get into that particular role rather than being enthusiastic about getting into that bigger role? That's a great question. I don't understand the mechanics of all that. You know, I think basically all actors in a sense are liars. I mean, there's something seriously wrong. It's like, I always love these like Hollywood people who get married, you know, these music industry people who get married to each other and whatnot, and they have all sorts of affairs and whatnot, and they all sorts of Babylon type stuff, and they just lie and they lie and they lie and they lie, and they're like, spouses are like surprised by this matter. They're like, well, I didn't know. They lie professionally for a living. Like, they take lies. You know how the pool sharks pull out those little cases and they put the cue together? The actor, it's the same thing, man. It's the same thing. So I don't, like, when's it stop? Oh, I only lie there, but I don't lie here. I think once you know, that little, and it's a difficult thing to talk about because this is the sort of stuff that racks people, you know, lying and guilt and these things. I mean, it affects people, different people in different ways, and, you know, as well it should. And I've known the full spectrum, and I think at various points in my time I've been forced to run the full spectrum myself, meaning I've been forced to lie. And as I said, I'm not very good at it, which means I kind of do it and I don't talk about it again, you know, because it's not, I just not, you know, I'm not good at it. You can, and what's not good, let's see. I got this thing that I tell people, right? And it goes like this. I don't mind if you lie to me, as long as you're good at it. That's like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not good at it, which means that when I lie to people, they know. They generally, for the most part, knew. They do. You know, not the little stuff, the sins of omission and that crap. I mean, like the outright, you know. So I wonder, again, bringing it back to actors, it's like, how do you shut that on or off? And like, where's the morality? I mean, do you feign morality? Can you act at having morality? Is that what it is, or is it like a genuine thing? I know for me it's a genuine thing, in the sense of I've always inherently believed that we know the difference between right and wrong, even at birth. well, before birth, we could talk about the wound. If we're going to call, again, birth is birth, and then pre, and then we can get into the whole pro-choice thing, life, and I don't want to get into it. Life begins at conception, as far as I'm concerned. I've said this before. But I believe we inherently know that. You know, why do we inherently know that? Is that God? Is that God that gives us that? Maybe. I would presume yes, quite frankly, considering everything else. But I think we know the difference between right and wrong. So if that's the case, then we know it should just feel wrong. I mean, we should know that it's not right. Depending upon the circumstance. Is there a good reason to lie? Yeah, I think there are good reasons to lie at times, without a doubt. Does that make it right? This is where things get hinky. You know, I don't want to be a moral relativist, although unfortunately I am. I only got another cat at the door. I can't do it. Apparently Wednesday was booked. I hadn't realized that Wednesday was booked because my cats are driving me up the wall while I'm supposed to be doing a program. Yeah, I'm going to break out the Kitty Benadryl next show. That's what I'm going to do. They'll be like, the fat guy, he snores. Spats, he snores. You ever a cat that snored? I never had a cat that snored before, Spats. He snores. It's really funny. He wake himself up sometimes. It's hilarious. But anyway, back to the whole moral conundrum lying thing. Don't mean to blow that by the wayside. I think we inherently know the difference between right and wrong, and I think that things get complicated because there becomes layers of well, like, is there one universal right? If we presume that there is one universal right, true, correct thing, and we presume that that is emanates from God, then it's either right or wrong moving out from that. But when you start to introduce so many different elements, mainly people, what's right for me may not be right for you. What's right for you may not be right for me. What you decide to do for whatever reason may be right for someone in your life, but maybe not right for someone else in your life. None of this is simple. I think you just need to do the best you can without destroying yourself in the process. That's a big one. Because I found, my conscience is such as, a lot of people are actually kind of surprised that I have a conscience, actually, believe it or not, you know, given some of my life, career decisions, choices, / whatever. And anybody who knows me will know that I generally tend to get hit by stuff after the fact. My conscience is something that I can kind of shut off to do what I need to do and then kind of deal with whatever that entails. I hope this wasn't important. Maybe it was my producer. Let's see. No, couldn't tell you. Don't know. Don't know what that sound was. Doesn't matter. I can tell you that I, in one way or another, I wind up, accumulating and dealing with it. Everybody kind of deals with their own stuff in their own way, and I guess that's the way it should be. But none of this. I don't think that there's a. I just don't think that. I mean, some things are universally wrong. You know, pretty much the final solution, that was wrong. You know, and not to make jokes. I mean, that was 100% wrong. You know? There are, like, Stalin, that was wrong. You know what I mean? Barry, the second term without first term, that was wrong. I mean, there are things that were just, like, wrong. There's no, it's not subjective. That's the thing. And, you know, what makes something subjective is that, you know, again, well, you can, as an individual, you can view that and have it not be a universally accepted or perceived in exactly the same way by various people. That's what subjectivism means, meaning it's actual. I'm sure there's a site. There's an actual. There's a less that chilly. Whew, going real pro tonight. There's subjectivity, I guess, dependent upon the subject or how the subject views it. Okay, I guess is. Like I said, I don't know if there's a technical term for it, as opposed to things that are like non-subjective, which would be that's universally, 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, that's exact. They all see it exactly the same way. I don't think that life is like that. I think it's a lot more complicated. I think the subtle nuances that comprise of one's life. And, we're all, in essence, we're a bundle of nerves, which is a chemical electro. And then there's a soul attached to that. And there's just so many friggin' variables that it's just hard. It's just really hard. And I think I think that people are hard on themselves a lot. And I think that in the process of being hard on themselves, they're just making it that much harder to get by in an ordinary, you know, what is already a difficult world. And I think most people's lives, I never met anybody who had like a great, perfect, whatever. It just does not happen. I mean, there's just so many variables, law of averages, things of that nature, where you say to yourself, everybody becomes due for stuff. I mean, I got a friend right now who's going through a lot of stuff, and, you know, he's really, really important to me, and you know, we didn't talk for a lot of years, and now we're talking again. And just when we started to get back into, you know, really building that friendship again, he's going through stuff, and you know, I've been going through stuff too the last 6 months or whatever the story may be, last year as well too. So I mean, we've kind of been going through stuff together, but he was doing pretty okay, and then I wasn't, and now I'm doing a little bit better, and now he's not, and I mean, that's just it, you know. But it's. I'm not even 100% sure what I'm going for here. More than I think people are hard on themselves. I don't think that God is. If we're going to take the idea of Yahweh, and we're going to evolve Yahweh into a latter day God, and Jesus, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the New Testament, Christianity. If we're going to look at Christianity, again, as the fruition, it's the evolution of Judaism, I don't think that Jesus is a vengeful God. I mean, I think that's quite apparent, quite frankly. I don't think that God would send his only begotten son, and I'm going to do the John thing, but, you know, his only begotten son down here to sacrifice and die for our sins to relieve us of that original sin, which we ourselves created. Thank you, Eve. Yeah. Always blame it on the chicks. That's what happened. She did it. Okay. I don't think he would do that. You know, and Yahweh himself. So if we're to believe that, right? So now we're dealing with the Old Testament and the New Testament. If it looks like every other indicator is that, if you're a Christian anyway, which I now certainly consider myself to be, I view it this way. I view just what I said. I view Christianity and the New Testament and the Gospels of the New Testament, the inspired word of God as laid down in the New Testament, let alone the red letter stuff that Jesus actually said. I view that as the evolution, as the continuation, as in the part two of Yahweh. Yahweh was the vengeful God. Yahweh, obviously, smoting this one, smiting that one. He only liked the Jews. Let's think about that one for a moment. Anyway, I don't think. Now, I dig Yahweh. I mean, back in the day, that's like, you know, I like young Elvis and not old Elvis. It's that kind of Yelvis. I just made a god, Yelvis. Oh, I can't do this anymore. Yelvis. That's a conjunction of Elvis and Yahweh. Yelvis. So anyway. I think the kinder, gentler God of the New Testament, I think, is a little bit more understanding of human foibles. And I think the difference would be, and here's even a little theory logic behind this: God came down in human form, he was birthed the whole nine yards and died as a human on the cross as Jesus. Jesus was God incarnate, human being. I mean, there have been wars fought over the nature of Jesus. The bottom line is he took human form, any way you want to look at it. And he suffered the human experience to whatever degree that they felt was appropriate enough to present in the Gospels. And I question that. I kind of question everything. I mean, I don't doubt God, certainly. I don't doubt even anymore Jesus. I just kind of doubt the presentation. And question the presentation as laid out in the Bible. I think it's a good root. I think it's a good, you know, a good thing to base things on. And certainly inspirational, and I think it appeals to our, and there's a term, appeals to our better angels as well. It should, but I still have a problem separating the inspired word of man, or the inspired word of God as filtered through man, versus what some guy decided to put in. I mean, if you remove the priestly class from every civilization, things start looking a lot better, you know. And that's pretty much where I'm at now. I need to talk to God. I talk to God, you know, and I pray in Jesus' name, and you know, and I do that every night. And I started to do it a little bit in the morning now, because something just reminded me recently that maybe everything in between has a lot to do with what those two things are in the morning and at night. I actually, this is pretty funny. I was going to say this out loud, right? But it's kind of weird. I don't know if it counts for anything, and it, I'm not saying it, so it should. But it speaks of my evolution of as a person. My phlebotanist, I have a relatively new phlebotanist, and I get blood drawn way more than I would care to talk about, way more. But she's new to me. You know, she's very good because we had some fill-in people that were, like, horrible, but she's really good. So she took – she drew some blood, and then she had a – we were talking, and she says to me, because I – she noticed that it was for lithium. It was one of the lithium blood tests. And she's like, how's the lithium working out for you? So I'm like, whatever. And, you know, I kind of, you know, I explained to her I was bipolar and whatnot. And she goes, oh, you know, we're talking. And I told her I was on, at one point when I started, I was on Depakote. Jeez. Which is horrible, right? Depakote makes you put on weight. And then she started talking to me about her brother. And her brother had some sort of little aneurysm or something, and he fell down on his porch, but he fell at such an angle to cut the oxygen off for like 6 minutes before rescue could get to him. So he was brain deprived of oxygen for 6 minutes. He's brain damaged, right? Which is, I mean, just tragic. But he's in hospital, and they got him on Depakote for some sort of, I forget what the reason is. She explained what the reason was, because I thought it was odd that he would, because I associated that with either anticonvulsant or bipolar or something of that nature. It could even be for anticonvulsants. It could be seizures that I'm aware of. She didn't make that clear to me if it's the case. But so she was telling me about him, and we had the conversation, and you know, at the end of this, at the end of it, I mean, I had to go. I was already in there for like an extra 10 minutes or whatever. I said to her, oh, I'm, you know, what's your brother's name? I'm going to pray for him. And I heard myself say that, and it was like foreign to me. I mean, it didn't sound like something that I would say. You know, it wasn't something that I would have said before. Let's just put it that way. And I think it's, you know, at that moment, I kind of like truly understood that I think I've crossed over very much like I have politically. I think I've crossed over to another place entirely. And I didn't truly realize the significance of that. So it's not like, you know, I just find it difficult because we want things in this world. There are things we want. There are things we need. There are things we literally need in this world. And they run contrary to what we would have been taught to believe is right. And that doesn't make us want them any less. And that makes us feel bad about ourselves. And I don't know what God wants. I could go look at scripture, like we just said. I could go back to the Old Testament. I could take it back to the Ten Commandments, which are great rules. Take it back to the Ten Commandments. I'm not quite sure there isn't one I haven't broken multiple times. And when I say multiple times, I guess I mean more simultaneously. I could be wrong about that. What's in there? What's in there? I think they're wrong. What's in there? I don't know. You used to be able to go down to the courthouse and look, but now you can't do that. Yeah, thank you. You fucking liberals. Yeah, godless heathens. No. I don't really know, but I mean, we were just going to use those as an example. I've broken most of those, so I mean, I kind of disqualified myself. But as far as the new stuff goes, I'm like, yeah, I mean, you know, you can, I don't know. It's just so hard. I just wish I had an answer. I just wish things were like simple and not complicated and not painful. I do wish. I wish life were a lot less painful for everyone. How's that? I really honestly do. I really honestly do. You know, when you start to like care about other people more than you care about yourself, you know, I guess that's also, and I hit that one a long, 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 long time ago. So I don't know what that says about me, but that was like I might only be a minute or two off for a jingle. I'm not sure. Let me see if I can get to interrupt myself. I did make, it's almost like a resolution, I guess. To let's see, can't hit that one. Oh, okay. Let's see if this one's any good.
11 L R N I. All the time.
This free speech. There's so much free speech, we can't even give it away. It's like free beer, free speech, free beer. Yeah. Anyway, that chili's killing me. There might even be a little chili left. Chili turned out all right. We'll just leave it at that. You can taste everything. For sure. You can actually keep tasting everything. So, no disappointment there. Expensive proposition. Figured it out. It's like 60, almost 70 bucks for the chili. Yeah, what are you going to do, right? It's good stuff. That's for six servings, a little bit more than six servings. Yeah. So one, two, three. Yeah, six, maybe nine. Maybe nine. But it was worth it. And I got four Shiner Box left over, which is Texas, native Texas beer. Really good stuff, Shiner Box. I'll probably polish those off with my uncle eventually. This is my uncle, just in case anybody's interested, because I think I mentioned my uncle once or twice. My uncle is actually my mother's stepbrother, who doesn't talk to him or anybody else except the same aunt that I talk to, whose house I live in, just in anybody. So my uncle Tim, I'll just call him Tim going forward. Tim. No, I don't think there's another Tim in my life. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think there is. So I can get Tim to come by and have a couple beers with me if I behave myself and I'm not too annoying. So the chili went, the 4th of July chili went down splendidly for the most part, and that's that. But back to like God, you know, and back. I know, you know, I it's like I used to have this thing where, well, I'm going to do the religious show, and then I'm never. It's like you can never do it again, you know, or you'd never do it again. You're like, oh, you're done, and it's finished. But it's not, because it's just, it's every day. I mean, that's ultimately, I guess, what the concept of morality is. It's a lifestyle. I mean, I know what it sounds like. You're like, well, yeah, all right, yeah, you just figured that one out. It's like, no, not really. But I mean, just the idea of I don't know whether I avoided God for so long because I was mad at God, or because I didn't think that I could live up to what the, I'm going to again say, not to seem too skeptical, but the supposed expectation for what God wants from me. Because I used to rant about this all the time, because I've had a reasonably extraordinary life, and I don't mean in a good way, but a reasonably extraordinary life. And I've said very many times before that I literally feel that the hand of God has moved me from one place to another at times, despite my best, as just, you know, despite my best efforts to put myself in a bad situation, or keep myself in a bad situation, or hurt myself, or literally destroy myself, which I'm no longer trying to do, at least physically. And I'm doing my damnedest not to do it emotionally and mentally, but I'm definitely trying not to do it physically, which means I'm not eating pancakes anymore. So no more. Not allowed. So this being the case, and I'm pretty sure, who put the pancakes there to tempt me? Was it God or was it the devil? I think it was Satan. I know I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, where I was like, I think Satan's been screwing with me and not God. But anyway, I felt that God has moved me along. I felt that God has literally saved me at times for whatever reason. So now I'm left in, you know, and you're like, for what purpose? For what purpose? I mean, and it gets to the point where, like, it got to the point with me where I was, like, so convinced that God had done multiple things for me. And I mean multiple, not once, not twice, like, I should be dead now. I mean, I've said it so many times, it's ridiculous now. It loses its value, becomes desensitized to it. It's like, nigga, it's become the same thing. You know, I couldn't get a show in without saying that. It's become the same thing. In that sense, where it's like, you know, I get to, like, you ever say something so often that even when you're saying it, now you just filter it out? So it's almost like that. That's where I'm at with the, oh, you know, God save me thing. But it also comes down to the idea of why? What am I supposed to do? What is my purpose? You know, I've not propagated, as far as I know. Well, that's a whole other story, but I've not propagated, as far as I know. So it's not, you know, I have no clue what it is that God wants from me. I have no idea. I mean, I'm sure God wants me to be the best person I can be. I know that. I don't doubt that. But that's like going to the doctor. No matter how good you're doing, you know, there's always room for improvement. You know, like, I get that. Yeah, all right. You know. And I don't know. You know, I know that's the thing. And I used to, like, really get, like, I would get kind of anxious over it. I would be like, because you know what? I don't like being in debt. You know, if I feel like I'm in debt, I'd like to, like, even that debt. I've never been one of those gracious people that's just like, oh, okay. I'm more like, okay, I just like to, and then, okay, I like to be on an even keel, you know, with most things. Even maybe keel, because that's more emotional, mental, I guess, that expression, even keel. But level playing field, I don't know what you'd call it. I'm not even 100% sure. Wow, what the exact expression is that I'm trying to get at. I'm sure I'll think about it at 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm not sleeping, or 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm not sleeping. But I kind of like, I just like to not be in debt. And I feel like I'm in debt to God. And I'm like, you could arguably say, well, we're all in debt to God. And I get that. I understand that. But why would God save me like multiple times from imminent destruction? For like no reason. That's like for no reason that I can think of. For none, you know. I don't know. It's like a mystery to me. So it's not like I don't think about God in my life. It's not like in a lot of the moral decisions, whether they be right or whether they be wrong. Because again, we're going to presume when we use the term moral compass, and again, and I go back to what I said earlier, that would indicate that there's only one direction. Like what's moral, the moral correct is north. True north is moral correct. We'll presume that, right? So everything else is not. So there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no negotiation. There's no nothing. There's 100% absolutely correct, or there isn't. There's no degrees. There's no gray. And I don't think that that's how it works. I don't think God made it that way. I think it's too rigid. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it literally doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make sense like, oh, the invisible man in the sky judging everybody in part in the Red Sea. No, not that kind of not make sense. I'm talking about because whether you look at that as 100% true, which people do, or whether you look at that as a possible parable, or whether you look at these just these stories about God in general as allegories, whatever you want to call them, because I've touched on this before. I'm not 100% on. I'm not a 100% true believer of every word that comes out of the Bible. I'm not. I got to be perfectly honest about that. I'm not 100% not. It's just maybe I can't, and I don't even think it's lack of faith. I don't think it's lack of faith. I just think I don't trust man. I trust God and the laws of nature and the laws of God. I have no problem with. But as those interpreted by man, this becomes a whole separate issue for me. Whole separate issue. Let's look at the Vatican. I wasn't even going to talk about this. But what do we got? Number three in the Vatican, the financial dude's up on child molestation charges, I believe. Right? This is this week. And then there was another report today about I think they raided an apartment in Rome. That was I think it belonged to, rented by, owned, however you want to put it, by one of the councils in the Vatican that's in charge investigating improprieties by priests, sexual improprieties by priests. They found they were doing like fucking orgies in there or stuff. I mean, you know, because when we look at like the moral code, it's like, yeah, you would think that that's against the moral code. I know they're flawed, right? Okay. So how did they get to be that? How did they get to that point? How did it get to be number three? Okay, because again, we're going to go. We did the history of how this works, right? Okay, the Bishop of Rome descended from Peter. It basically goes from the Bishop of Rome to God, if you're Catholic anyway, to God. None of that first amongst equals crap. Literally to God. It goes from the Pope to God. So there's the Pope, there's number two, and then there's number three. So the number three man in the Vatican has basically been accused of child rape to one degree or another, unless I'm off on the charges. And in any case, it's in that ballpark. It's in that ballpark, without a doubt. So I'm supposed to sit here and I'm supposed to feel bad about some of the things in my life that I know run contrary to what the Bible tells us. That's, you know what I mean? I'm not, and I dig scripture. I've always been into the Bible. You ask anybody who knows me, you know, the Bible, God, religion, I'm that guy. I mean, you know, so it's not like, I'm not trying to rationalize anything here. I'm not trying to rationalize my behavior. I'm not trying to rationalize anybody else's behavior. I'm just trying to introduce into the equation, you know, and maybe that's what Satan is, the accuser. So who knows? Maybe I'm being oppressed right now in some way, shape, or form. I don't even really know. I just don't think it's as simple as, and when I say simple, I don't think anything is as simple as it seems. I think that God created in one way, shape, or form all of this. And I don't think that God would create things in a certain way and put certain things in play if God didn't have intent for them to be a certain thing. You know, and it's like, oh, God's tempting me. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever at all to me. I never really got that. And you just gotta, there's just that line, you know. There's another expression that another friend of mine used to use a lot. This is the idea of walking the line. It's, yeah, you got to walk the line. I guess that's what you got to do. You got to make your decisions. You got to walk the line, but you can't live your life like there's going to be a thunderbolt out of the sky. I mean, we can't be superstitious about it. That's pagan shit. You know, I would run if I saw an angel coming. I've said that very many times, right? At least with the demons, you know what you're getting, and I don't want to mess with them either. Don't get me wrong. But the Angels, nothing good comes of that. Nothing. You tell me one good thing. Nothing. Not a one. Boop. Over with. Finished. You know, oh, what about the announcement of Jesus? Yeah, that ended well, right? Yeah. Oh, what about the announcement of John? And I still wonder about that. But anyway. Yeah, that ended well for John, too, right? Huh, John the Baptist? That ended really friggin' well. Yeah. So anyway. It's also fun, though, isn't it, boys and girls, right? This whole life thing. It's just, there's just so many moving pieces. You know, I always thought it ironic, you know, with the Milton Bradley game where like, they try to encompass as much as they could into that little board game, and it's like, that don't look like my life. That look like your life? That don't look like my life. What the hell is going on? You know? I know this. I know God loves me. There's no way. There's no way. Maybe God loves me despite myself, which is what I can say of, well, we'll just leave it at that. That's something that could be applied to me with Miss Vita Vista, but right? Yeah. Tar Midwood. I don't know. I don't even know where I started with this show. I did mention the Vatican thing. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that. The commie hasn't said anything. See, that's the thing. This is great too, right? Let's examine this for a moment. I know a couple of few Catholics these days, right, who are less than pleased with the Pope because he had certain globalist socialist leanings, which you could arguably say Jesus did as well, arguably. And they're like, oh, I don't like this Pope. You don't get to pick and choose as a Catholic. You don't. I don't know whether they told you that or not. You don't. You're either in or you're out. You're a good witch or you're a bad witch. You're not. There's no one like, oh, it depends how I feel the name. Don't even get me started on the witch thing, by the way. It's, you know, you're in or you're out. So if you don't like this, but what's going to wait to the next one? Okay, maybe you'll like the next one. If that's the case, I haven't liked the last two popes. So the last pope that was worth a damn was obviously, well, I still boggles my mind that damn's a curse word, by the way. Boggles my mind. It does. I didn't even know that until I was like, like in my mid-40s, someone pointed that out to me. I was like, what? Really? No. Yeah, it's true. Pope John Paul. Poland. Polish. Pope John Paul, Margaret Thatcher, Ronald Reagan brought an end to the Soviet Union. Yay. It's true. They did. Those three in a triad. Lech Walesa, I believe. No, Lech Walesa was the Solidarity dude. The Union Solidarity guy in Poland. Carol, whatever his name is, I don't remember John Paul's last name, but as in, is the Pope Polish? Remember that was good for a while? Because he was Pope for like a long time. I remember when he came to New York, it had to be like 77, 78, and I was in the Delgado's living room watching that on their color TV when he was leaving. Check this out, right? He was at Kennedy Airport. He was leaving, right? Getting on the plane to go. It got dark outside where we were, and out on the street, and it started to friggin' hail at Kennedy Airport. I kid you not. I kid you not. So, I mean, you know, there's definitely something going on. I just don't know what it is. That's the thing. I feel like, it's like the Beastie Boys. There's something going on, but I'll probably never get it. Yeah. That's really what how I feel. I don't. And I don't know if I'm supposed to. Maybe because my chemical imbalance, I'm like ill-equipped to anyway. Maybe I just don't view this the way everybody else does or whatever. I don't. That's something that does pop into my mind, and I'm not talking about the idea of some sort of distorted reality. Although I guess to a lesser degree I am now that I think about it. But the idea of I literally see the world entirely different than every other person on the planet. I think that whatever's, and I think most people do, the subjective reality. You know, I think our realities overlap. That's that famous thing where like 10 people see a car accident and all 10 people will report something different, that they saw something different, because there's reality and then there's our perception of reality. I'm not going to get metaphysical on you, but there's reality, which is a real actual thing, and then there's our impression of reality. Each and every one of us has our own impression of reality. Those generally tend to overlap, so there is some common ground, so we don't always look at each other like we're all crazy all the time. Most of the time. Most of us. Anyway. So what I'm questioning is just exactly how more or less that my chemical imbalance makes it, how far removed from reality or how close to reality I actually am, because it could very easily be the other way as well, because my shit be out of tune. You know, I'm like a piston misfiring or my wiring's a little different. That's all it is. It's chemicals, man. It's chemicals in your head. It's a chemical imbalance, which is what all these drugs are trying to correct, supposedly. Supposedly. I got a plan. I do. I got a plan as far as the drugs, so we'll see how that goes. But it's all, I don't even know where I started with this. I literally do not remember, other than the fact that life is difficult, and we make difficult decisions, and we need to live with our decisions, and we either need to affect change or we don't, or whatever. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't know what to tell a person in crisis right now, in some sort of moral crisis at this point in time. I don't think things are as easy for me as they used to be. I could take the playbook out of the Bible and, let's go by the what it says in Scripture, and you're a bad person and you're going to hell and you should feel really bad about yourself. I can't do it. I mean, I just can't do it. And it, ask yourself, and this is really important, let's throw everything aside except Jesus, okay? And let's look at it from a red letter perspective. And I use that term from the standpoint of a lot of the Bibles now have in red letter what Jesus said. Meaning, if Jesus didn't say it, it's not in red. So all the other stuff, get rid of all the stuff in black. Everything that Paul had to say, I don't trust Paul at all. It's all Pauline thought. Paul created a new religion. I don't necessarily believe that that Jesus was about creating a new religion. I think he was about evolving, Judaism. I said that before, and I firmly maintain that. So I don't think, if you look at the red letter stuff, I don't think that there's anything that Jesus said that would make the vast majority of people, other than hurting children and not respecting their elders, that sort of stuff, to despair, to feel that God loved them any less. That's how I feel. That's how I feel about my life and the decisions that I make and have made and probably will make. And I'm not talking about, I can do anything and Jesus will forgive me. I mean, you try to be as low impact in this world as you can. You try to hurt others as less as you can. It's not always possible, especially with a level of emotional dysfunction. I generally tend to be a bull in a china shop, with rare exception. And it's hard. It's just all very hard. So I'm not giving myself or anybody else carte blanche. We are accountable to God. And when I say God, I mean Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We'll go back into the transubstantiation and the idea of the flesh and the whole. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely in on that. And that, again, that's just more of the idea of God coming down and becoming a human. I mean, and having that experience and understanding our weaknesses and our foibles. And that itself is an evolution. Because if you think about the idea of, like, the Greek gods and the Roman gods, which were really the same thing, and we go back to very many other pantheons throughout recorded history, and I'm sure unrecorded history as we speak, there's this idea of the gods were very much like people. That, you know, look at Zeus, look at you know, the other Olympians, in the sense of that they all had, you know, I'll use that term, foibles again. They all had things that made them very human-like, you know, greed, avarice. You know, we go back to the seven deadly sins and where these came from. I think that's a direct move from pagan, quite frankly, all those bad things, you know. And Jesus represented the end of Pan, the death of Pan, and paganism really passing, at least within the concept of Europe, and then obviously the New World to some degree or another, though you can look at the witch trials and certainly whatever was going on with Wicca, and then Gardner, and don't even get me started on that. That's a whole show, as they say. And maybe I should be doing shows on that with the music, and I don't really know. But my point now becomes is that, so have we evolved, so have our gods evolved. And I think that Christianity represents the highest peak of that evolution, is what I believe. And I believe that that is what makes it truest. It's that simple. 2,000 years, big deal, Junior, 5,000 years, I don't really care. You know, it doesn't, because I've had this argument with people, or, you know, maybe argument, I'm trying to be less argumentative, but not in every case. I think that most people know that about me, but in some exceptions, I'm trying to be less argumentative just to make life easier for everybody involved, and it's the right thing to do. I think it could be successfully argued one way or another that we all, and this goes back to the inherent, I think we are inherently aware of a baseline right and wrong. We're born with some sense of base morality. I really do. I think we're imbued, endowed, whatever you want to endow it. I mean, I've just known that there was, like, even before I understood it in the larger societal sense, you know, in the larger collective, and I hate that term, but collective sense in regards to, maybe this is stuff that's in the subconscious. Maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe, you know, I always dug Jung and the archetypes, you know, and it's like, well, that's utterly fascinating where you have these universal ideas, these universal archetypes, pictures, whatever they are, you know, are icons, whatever term you want to use, that have always been there and always will be there, and they transcend culture, and they're just there. They're just something that is just inherently there. We've just always been aware of them. You know, how is that transmitted? You know, the Akashic record, don't even get me started on the woo-woo shit. I mean, I could sit here all day, unfortunately, because I've just been exposed to so much of it over the last X number of years of my life. I mean, it's just, you know, I did a fair amount of reading, as I've mentioned back in the day before I became totally illiterate, you know. Although I guess you don't become illiterate. I guess you are illiterate and you stay illiterate. So there's another word for it that doesn't quite sum up what I am, but I'm anti-literate. There it is.
Anti-literate.
One more time.
Antifa.
All right. So, how to get that in one more time. The absurdity of it all, right? Yeah, I am such an asshole. I don't know why people put up with me at all. I really don't. I guess I'm mildly amusing. I'm like the court jester. So, anyway, God loves you. God loves me. It's hard. God knows that. Right? God made it like this for whatever reason. I think, you know, it's all a test. I don't know what I'm being tested. Are you being tested? I don't know if you're being tested, you know? I don't know if I've ever done anything I can't live with. And the main reason I say that is because I'm still alive. I haven't managed to do myself in over anything that I've done. And I've done some pretty shitty things in my day. I have. Those days are behind me, but I've done some pretty shitty things. You know, I think we all have. It's all this whole thing about being judged. It's just so... You know, and I'll be a hypocrite and I'll say I'm willing to judge people based upon their ongoing, persistent behavior. Once, twice, you know, I'm a big fan of three strikes. I am. And I don't mean three strikes, put them in jail, you know, for jail, like permanent jail. I mean three strikes, send them to meet Jesus. That's, you know, I'm up on that, seriously. But at least three. At least, you know, because again, it's not a pattern of behavior. I don't think there's any one thing that I've done that I should be judged for. In the larger sense. And I think we all have the capability of even leveling the playing field out before it's done. I like to think that before I go to the pearly gates and I have to plead my case, and, oh, believe me, I will have to plead my case, that I will have enough of an argument, and there's maybe where that argumentative skill will come in, that debate skill will come in. I may be able to talk myself into heaven. I may. I'm hoping to have a couple people put in a good word for me, but I think I'm going to have to make a pretty persuasive argument myself, you know? Skin of my teeth thing, as they say. Well, I think I'm closing in on 90. And this was just another one of those ramblers. I want to get a little bit more focused. I feel I've kind of lost focus a little bit there. I think the last one was better. I went in with a game plan. And I more adequately was able to convey what I want. I think that's the one thing that when I talked about all the other, you know, when I watch and listen to people who share my views, my worldview, for lack of a better word, and are doing some sort of presentation. I mentioned them all earlier. I don't really care to do it again for no other reason than I just really don't, you know. I'm embarrassed. I have a crush on some of them, actually. Anyway. I think I need to be more focused. That's basically, I noticed they're focused. I noticed they're not worried about music. You know what I mean? They go in, they have a message. They probably write very well. I write decently. I just can't read it. So I'm left with that. So I'm handicapped a little bit, but, you know, I'll compensate like I always do. And I just want to get focused and I want to tighten it up. And that's why I think two shows, I'm comfortable with the two shows a week notion and, you know, we'll take it from there. There's always enough in the news cycle. We live in a 24-hour news cycle now, right? So, I mean, literally every 24 hours, the news dumps. It's in the... So I could do a show every day of the week. I mean, some people do, and I think that's insane, you know? Could I do 90 a day? I probably could if I had to, but you'd most likely have to pay me at that point in time. I think I would need to be compensated in some way, shape, or form. And I no longer accept Swedish fish. I'm not allowed to. Done. Because I would have done it. 2 pounds of Swedish fish a day, I would have been there, no problem. Would have been like, yeah, I can do it. no more. Anyway, I appreciate your Patronage. That's the term. You know, I think my dyslexia is coming. I'm less compensating. I don't know if it's a chemical thing with all the drugs. Maybe whatever was going on there, autocorrect is, it's not as good as it was. It might be a little broken. I'm not 100% sure. But something's not quite right. I can tell you that. Well, again, I thank you for joining me in whatever way, shape, or form you did. LFMidwood.com. It's LFMidwood.com. Go by, check out the social media. Archives are available. Links to John's site and the 11L Archives themselves. I think a link to the 11L Archives. This is the actual site. So, you know, Midwood Files, Chasing the Stone Bunny. That's my thing. I don't even know what. It's just my thing. We'll leave it at that. I haven't even attached it. Red Pill, social media. I do want to get one of those board things, but I think it'll screw things up so I can write on it. So, anyway, thanks for joining. Catch you soon. God bless.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.